Friends, thank you all for being here today on this Friday, this Good Friday, this day when we observe the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have gone through 6 weeks of Lent. We've been journeying with our Lord as he has made his way to Jerusalem. And now we have come, as the hymn we just sung reminds us, at the foot of the cross and indeed beneath the cross. I often think on Good Friday that the best way to proceed is with less talking and more listening. And so we will hear this morning, this afternoon, the story of the crucifixion. It is a long passage, but I think the best way to hear it is to listen to it, hear it read, and hear all of it read. The lectionary often assigns John's rendering of the crucifixion narrative, perhaps because it's the most fulsome, and indeed it is a powerful narrative. But with any powerful story, there can also be dangers if it is done incorrectly, if we take the story and use it incorrectly, and the potential to do that in John's gospel is great. One of the things in John's gospel is that John often makes use of the phrase "the Jews." John uses that phrase more than all the other gospels combined. 70 times he uses the phrase the Jews, and you will hear that phrase in our text today, the Jews. But please be mindful when you hear this story read that when John uses the phrase the Jews, that this is indeed a Jewish story, that the gospel narrative is a Jewish story, and that everyone in the story, almost everyone, are Jews. Jesus is a Jew, the disciples are all Jews, Caiaphas and Annas are Jews, everyone in this story for the most part, mostly everyone are Jews. So this is a Jewish story. So when you hear the Jews, the phrase the Jews, please know that this is not a story that is against the Jews or that casts aspersion on the Jews as a category, as a class, but when John uses the term the Jews, he is often talking about the Jewish leadership. So that's one thing to keep in mind when hearing the story. The other thing to keep in mind when hearing this story is to be mindful of one of the characters that's everywhere in this story, yet who is not mentioned explicitly, and that character is evil. Often when we read this story or hear this story read, we often generalize some of the characters in this story. We generalize Pontius Pilate. We make generalized assumptions about the Jewish leadership and even some of Jesus's disciples. But the one character that kind of moves across this narrative is the character of evil itself. Evil, as someone said, slithers across this story, hissing lies and promoting hate. And indeed, as we listen to this story, notice the way that evil sort of takes the anxieties and the fears and the prejudices and the confusions of the characters of this story and twists them so that they end up doing something quite cruel. And so as we listen to this story, as we hear this story read, let us be mindful of our own complicity in evil, how evil can often take our own fears and anxieties and prejudices so that we end up committing grave acts of cruelty. I think this story is an important story for us to hear and to read, not just one time a year, but many times a year, to keep this story before us, not just so that we can remember the sacrificial, self-giving act of love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but most importantly, so that we can be mindful of where our place was in this story. So let us listen to this story. We'll be reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verses 1 through chapter 19, verse 42. So let us listen to God's word for us. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples across the Kidron Valley, where there was a garden which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas, procuring a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that was to befall him, came forward and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus said to them, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them, and when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word which he had spoken, "Of those whom thou gavest me, I lost not one." Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's slave and cut off his right ear. And the slave's name was Malchus. And Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which the Father has given me?" So the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews seized Jesus and bound him. First they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had given counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. As this disciple was known to the high priest, he entered the court of the high priest along with Jesus, while Peter stood outside at the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the maid who kept the door and brought Peter in. The maid who kept the door said to Peter, "Are not you also one of this man's disciples?" And he said, "I am not." Now the servants and officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. And Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. And Jesus answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple where all Jews come together. I have said nothing secretly. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. They know what I said." When he had said this, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken wrongly, bear witness to the wrong. But if I have spoken rightly, why do you strike me?" Annas then sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself, and they said to him, Are not you also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, a kinsman of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, Did I not see you in the garden with him? Peter again denied it, and at once the cock crowed. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the praetorium. It was early. They themselves did not enter the praetorium so that they might not be defiled, but might eat the Passover. So Pilate went out to them and said, What accusation do you bring against this man? And they answered him, If this man were not an evildoer, we would not have handed him over. And Pilate said to them, Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law. And the Jews said to him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. This was to fulfill the word which Jesus had spoken to show by what death he was to die. Pilate entered the praetorium again and called Jesus and said to him, Are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered, Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, My kingship is not of this world. If my kingship were of this world, my servants would fight that I might not be handed over to the Jews. But my kingship is not from the world. Pilate said to him, So you are a king. Jesus answered, You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. For everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And Pilate said to him, What is truth? After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, I find no crime in him. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. They will have me release for you the king of the Jews. And they cried out again, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas, a terrorist, was a terrorist. Then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews, and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, See, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no crime in him. So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, Behold the man. And when the chief priest and the officers saw him, they cried out, Crucify him! Crucify him! And Pilate said to them, Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no crime in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by that law he ought to die, because he has made himself the Son of God. And when Pilate heard these words, he was the more afraid. He entered the praetorium again and said to Jesus, Where are you from? But Jesus gave no answer. Pilate therefore said to him, You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have the power to release you and the power to crucify you? And Jesus answered him, You would have no power over me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me to you has the greater sin. Upon this, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king sets himself against Caesar. When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the pavement, and in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." And they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then they handed him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and went out, bearing his own cross to the place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote a title and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." And many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. And the chief priest of the Jews then said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews.' This man said, 'I am King of the Jews.'" And Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and made four parts, one for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was without seam, woven from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture, "They parted my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did this. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing near, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A bowl full of vinegar stood there, so they put a sponge full of the vinegar on hyssop and held it to his mouth. And when Jesus had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, in order to prevent the bodies from remaining on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with them. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he tells the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled, "Not a bone of him shall be broken." And again, another scripture says, "They shall look on him whom they have pierced." After this, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who had first come to him by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds weight. They took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen clothes with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb where no one had ever been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, As the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. Friends, let us take a moment of silence as we meditate on this text. Merciful God, you gave your Son to suffer the shame of the cross. We ask, Lord, that you would save us from hardness of heart, that seeing him who died for us, that we might repent and confess our sins. Help us, Lord, to see ourselves in this story. Help us to come to grips with our own complicity with the forces of evil. Help us to come to grips with the ways that we are easily swayed by lies and half-truths. Help us to come to grips by acknowledging how we hear what we want to hear and see what we want to see. Help us to acknowledge all the ways that we allow ourselves to be involved in things that we would otherwise shy away from. Help us to acknowledge how our own goodness is often used against us, that in the name of doing what we believe is right and good and true, that we often end up doing what is cruel and what is contrary to your will. Help us to see this day all of the ways that we too have nailed our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to the cross. In his name we pray. Amen.